to Candlemas. It's a feast not celebrated by many churches, which is sad because it's got lots and lots of helpful themes in it, Candlemas. The Feast of Candlemas is always February the 2nd that we celebrate it on the Sunday closest to that, which is today. And the reason why we have Candlemas is because in Leviticus 12:1 it said that 7 days after a child was born, he was brought to the temple of the Lord for circumcision, and then 30, that's boys, of course, then 33 days after that, February the 2nd, is the feast of the child being offered in the temple. So that's 7 and 33. It's 40 days. So 40 days from Christmas, and we have Candlemas. And it's fixed in our calendar. And it's quite good, really, because it's a festival of light and hope and celebration and joy. And it comes at this time when we're just hopefully starting to think about things getting nicer. I know last week we had, I think it was described as the most depressing day of the year. Is that right? And I'm not quite sure why it's the most depressing. I think they said bills come out. So the credit card statements after Christmas. What else was it? I'm trying to think the reasons.
So a week to payday.
A week to payday, that's right. Week to payday. Bills and credit cards. What were the other reasons?
Income tax,
yeah. There was a whole load of stuff. So whilst everyone's in this depressing state, we Christians have Candlemas. And Candlemas lies halfway between the winter solstice and the spring equinox. And that means that winter is half over. And we're moving towards brighter and better days. You see, we Christians, we're an optimistic people. And because of its place in the calendar, just where it is, it's been important not just for Christians, but also for lots of pagan peoples over the centuries. And that's why we have Groundhog Day in the States. And this whole business of, you know, because winter's halfway over, predicting what the weather's going to be like, whether it's going to be really, really awful winter ahead, or whether we're out of the thick of it and we're moving on to something beautiful. I've never quite understood why. Apparently, if the groundhog casts a shadow, so the sun's up, then you can have bad weather. And if he doesn't cast a shadow, you can have nice weather. I've never quite understood that. It seems to be a discrepancy, but apparently that's what it is. But we remember Simeon and Anna greeting the baby Jesus as he is brought into the temple. And we've got these marvellous words, which I hope you all know by heart, from Simeon when he says, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for my eyes, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory of thy people Israel." And Simeon, by saying these words, kind of wraps up the Old Testament and says, "There you are. That's what it was all about. And the fruition of all those promises which God made have come true in Jesus. And we can start now living in a new age, because the Messiah has come. And we, like Simeon, are able to see, our eyes have seen thy salvation in Jesus." So Candlemas is a time of rejoicing. It's a time of remembering that God has kept his promise, the Messiah, for the sake of the world. And when we realize that, of course, we can understand why those early Christians, who were Jews, had to come out of the synagogue and in a sense, start off a new religion. It wasn't a new religion, because it was the continuation of Judaism. Jesus was the fulfillment of all the Jewish hopes. But they had to leave the synagogues behind. Because whilst we say, you know, our eyes have seen thy salvation, the Jews say, well, no, we're still waiting. We're still waiting for the Messiah who is to come. We believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And they're still waiting for somebody who's been and gone. But there's another side to Candlemas, and not just this joyous recognition of who Jesus is. Simeon has some really chilling words in his prophecy. He says, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Chilling words. Candlemas has been described as 1 foot in Christmas. It's related to Christmas so closely, 40 days on, but also 1 foot in Easter. It's a watershed time When we look back at the birth of Jesus and then realise the consequences of that birth and look to the cross of Easter. Candlemas reminds us that the birth of Jesus isn't a one-day event, but an invitation to a new way of life, a demanding way of life, which has consequences and which for Jesus would ultimately lead him to a cross. Candlemas reminds us that whilst the baby Jesus appears vulnerable and cuddly, yet he brings us a challenge whether or not we will walk with him to Easter. Jesus preached a powerful message, which we're called to follow in a life-challenging way today. And that means taking seriously the demands of Jesus. That means taking seriously the call to holiness and living his kind of life. What does that mean for us today? It means living with a concern for the oppressed and the poor. Refusing to be complicit in parts of systems which oppress the world. It means working for change in our world. This might mean that we have to become involved with things that other people say we shouldn't be concerned with as Christians. There are many Christians themselves who are dualists. They believe that religion and the world don't really mix, that we should be concerned with saying our prayers. Asking God to stop injustice might be okay, but we mustn't get too involved. Religion and politics, we're told, shouldn't mix. But what a good job Christian reformers have never believed that. It's enabled them to make changes to our world. And that's why I was particularly pleased this year that Sam brought before our eyes this work of Mildmay, which we've been supporting as a church over the past weeks. And you think of Mildmay taking seriously this call to holiness, a charity working alongside people who so often are pilloried and subject to criticism. Here are Christians taking their faith to a broken world and trying to make a real difference. How can we even imagine that half of the children aged 15 in South Africa will be dead by the age of 30? How can we live lives unchanged by God's commands? Recognising God's salvation in Jesus means that we have to live different kinds of lives. That as Christians, we have to be ruled and march to a different tune. We are part of the salvation of which Simeon spoke. We are to take up our cross and follow Christ. Amen.